Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Hello to everyone here in the house and all of you joining us online on our broadcast as well as our Calvary podcast. We're so glad that you've joined us today. Today we kick off a brand new series called We Believe that we'll be exploring together over the next 5 weeks, and we'll have a couple of guest speakers along the way, so stay tuned for that. But before we get started, I just want to challenge all of you today that over the course of this series, that you prayerfully invite someone with you to come to church. This series is perfect for those that you know that have lots of questions. You know, before I became a Christ follower, I had a million questions, and I took every opportunity to ask them. And so I am thankful over the years for the leaders, for the friends, and for the pastors who did their level best to help answer those questions for me and encourage me along in my faith. So would you be a bringer? Would you reach out to somebody and help spread the word about all the good things that God is doing here at Calvary? And let's work together to fill every seat in the house and every parking spot in the parking lot, and to see more people joining us on our online broadcast as well. And I want to take a quick moment, too, to thank those of you who so faithfully serve here at the church on Team Calvary. These are the people that come early every week, stay late every week. They're working hard to make sure that everyone that turns onto the church parking lot is welcomed with a smile and that they feel at home, and that everything in between is done with excellence. You guys are amazing. And can I say this? There's still room for more. Those of you that have been thinking about, you know, I'd really like to do something, maybe serve on a team and use my gift. Well, this is your opportunity. Make sure that you let somebody know in the chat, if you're online or here in the house, that you stop by the Welcome Center and talk about what your next steps could be, because there's all kinds of opportunities to serve. Alrighty, let's jump into it today. You know, what we believe as a church ultimately leads us to the actions that we take, leads us to the values that we hold in our lives and all the choices that we make. And our core beliefs are based on the foundational truths of the Bible, which form the worldview that we have as followers of Christ. And these are the things that ultimately govern our lives. Now, the word core itself is defined as the central or most important part of something. It's like the filling in an Oreo cookie, right? Without it, what's the point? It's just two chocolate biscuits. But you put that filling in the middle, and suddenly it comes alive. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 1, Paul said it this way. He says, "You, however, and we as a church, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine leads to a sound mind." And the word translated doctrine means instruction, especially as it applies to lifestyle application. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, the Bible says this of itself. It says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God," that's you and I, "may be thoroughly equipped," not just a little equipped, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if our core doctrine is based soundly upon scripture, we can know that we are walking in the path that God has designed for us, and that all of us are thoroughly equipped for that good work, the good work he's created us to do. And so this series is intended to root and to ground us as a faith community, while it instills these values into our hearts and minds as we minister to one another, as we pass on our faith to the next generation, and as we reach out together to the world around us. So, so important. Scripturally, we're going to determine how these core doctrines influence our church culture, and more importantly, how they should influence our individual lives. Now, in any organization, whether it's a business or within the church, some type of core value exists. Whether it's spoken or unspoken, believe me, it's there. And the same is true in our lives, in our friendships, in our marriages, in our families. You know, Tiger Woods is probably one of the greatest professional golfers of all time. But with fame and fortune comes the temptation to compromise values. And after some very poor decisions, his personal life began to publicly unravel for all the world to see. And in an interview, he said, "You know what? I stopped living according to my core values. I knew what I was doing was wrong, but thought only about myself and thought I could get away with whatever I wanted to do." Listen, what we say we believe doesn't guarantee success in this life unless you actually do the hard work of walking those things out. And that's where our complete reliance on the Spirit of God within us comes right to the forefront. If we're in a place where we value at our very core the things that Christ valued, then we will need to live Spirit-empowered lives to achieve it. That's what he did. That's the only way he was able to do it. Our core values should be at the very center of everything that we say and everything that we do. And here at the church, as in our walk with God, they bring clarity to the things that matter most to us. Our beliefs as a church lead to the values that guide how we achieve our mission and our vision. These are the biblical principles that we use as filters in how we do church life and how we reach out to the community and beyond. But the truth is, different people value different things, just like world religions believe different things. You know, over the years, I've been to a number of NASCAR races. I've always enjoyed motorsports, and it's been something that if I get an opportunity to go, I always try to make it happen. But there's a big difference between something you enjoy and something that you value. Valuing something is a huge step beyond something you enjoy. And I've seen people put a great deal of value in some very weak things. The one thing I've always marveled at when I go to these races is how people truly value the sport in a fanatical way. I mean, people are there with their RV, with NASCAR decals all over it, camping at the track for a week as they prepare for some of these races. They wear their favorite driver's hat on their head and shirt, and they proudly fly that driver's number on the flag that's attached to their camper. They grill on NASCAR barbecues, they wear NASCAR sunglasses and sleep in NASCAR tents, in NASCAR sleeping bags and NASCAR pillows. They have NASCAR tattoos and they wear NASCAR underwear, just like the ones I'm wearing today. Not really. But Luke 6:5 says a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. How many know somebody today that's full of something? And it's not always a good thing. But out of the abundance of your heart, out of your core, out of the treasury of what matters most in your life, what you truly believe, you will always end up speaking. So if you value NASCAR, you will speak NASCAR. You speak it, you wear it, you live it, you reproduce it. I saw entire families at the track at those races wearing hats and shirts, generations that were represented there, children carrying on what matters most to their mom and their dad. You see, what you believe and value influences how you spend your money, how you invest your time and your talents. What you believe in your life affects your children and the people around you more than you can ever understand. Some people value sports more than anything else, so their life speaks sports. Conversations always end up leading to sports. Some people have said to me, you know what, I value family more than anything else in my life. It sounds like a very noble thing, so their life speaks family. They talk about family vacations, family dinners, what their family is doing, and you know what, family is a good thing. But it's actually not the most important thing. Sometimes the greatest enemy of the best is the good. As a matter of fact, here at Calvary, we value ministry to family very much. It's something that's very important to us. But it's balanced with what matters most. But listen, if you value Jesus Christ and his kingdom, his way of doing and being right, then your life will speak Jesus. If at the core of who you are, you seek first the kingdom, if that is what matters to you and it's central in your life, then your conversation will reflect what you believe. The way that you live, your life begins to change. The way that you spend your money and your time also begins to change. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and all these things will be added or given to you as well. You see, when you value the king and his kingdom first, when you value his presence in your life more than anything else, all these other things, they'll be added to you, but in the right balance. Whether you enjoy motorsports or travel, whether you enjoy painting or fashion or music or running marathons, as long as you keep your priorities in order and walk with that order in your life, then God wants you to enjoy the kingdom life that he's planned for you. We see that in the mission of this church: loving God, loving people, loving life. Loving the kingdom life that Jesus talks so much about. When you seek first the kingdom, again, core to the message of Christ in everything you do, you will experience health in everything that you do. In all the things that God has attended for your many different relationships, for your marriage, for your family, and your church life. But today, as we start this series, I want to kind of establish, as we've just done, the importance of what's core. Understanding doctrine and its significance in our lives. Understanding what's central and what matters most. And so today I want to start our Belief series by looking a little closer at the Trinity and at creation. Now, the doctrine of the Trinity is not just traditional, it's firmly based in Scripture, and people feel very strongly about it. Years ago, Susan and I were headed to a church leaders conference in the States, and so we got to that point in the long line to go through customs. And so it was our turn. We got out our passports, and the agent kind of sternly looks at us both and takes our passports and asks us where we're going. So we answer. Then he asks us why we're going there. And so we answered. And then he looked at us both, and he asked us, what do you guys do for a living? And I said, well, we're actually pastors. Pastors? Really? Huh. Okay. And then he thought for a minute, and then he looks back at me and he says, one God only or three in one? And I said, three in one. And he said, good answer. Enjoy your trip. Here's your passports. Next in line. Now, it's not a traditional question you usually get when passing through customs, but it was for me on that day. One true God revealed as three equal persons, as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Even after all these years, I feel like I should be blessing myself when I say that. I think it's all those years in catechism that I experienced my religion classes. It's still deep within me. But at Calvary, we believe in the doctrine of the Trinity, not just because it's traditional, but because it's biblical. A very important part of our Next Steps class that we do here throughout the year is week two, when we focus and look at the significance of the church, understanding what the global church looks like, what the local church looks like, and that there is no church without you and me. We are the church. So next time you say, well, the church should be doing this or the church should be doing that, well, I totally agree. You should be, because we are the church. And in this class, we talk in detail about mission and vision. We talk about our core values. And most importantly, we talk about what we believe. And right at the top of that list is the triune God. One God, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, despite numerous claims by many world religions, there is only one God. And we have many supporting scriptures that we see different references. Well, let me give you a couple. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5 says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. There's no room for doubt. There is no other apart from me. There is no God. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 through 6. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. And as one God and three persons, each share in these divine attributes. All three persons are called God. All three are the creator, and all three are eternal. And we see clear evidence for the Trinity in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, during creation. We see the Father right out of the gate. We see God the Father at work. It says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So there he is providing overall supervision. All of creation is made by his command. God said this, God said that. Yet we also read that God said, let there be light in Genesis 1:3. So this is a reference to the sun. You see, in John's gospel, Jesus is described as the word of God, but also as the light. So we can see that creation was made through Jesus, which we see supported in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things, circle that, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's got the whole world in his hands. He still does. And then finally, we see the Spirit. In Genesis 1:2, we read about the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. So that accounts for all three persons of the Trinity at the very start of everything that there ever was. And for that reason, we see evidence of the Trinity in the world around us. Time can be expressed as past, present, and future. Matter can exist as a solid, a liquid, or a gas. Space has the dimensions of height, length, and width. Now, maybe that analogy is not perfect, but we can see the expressions of the Trinity in the elements of the universe. Maybe it's no accident that the strongest simple 2D shape is a triangle. Makes you think, right? Leonardo Boff was a theologian and an author of a book called Holy Trinity, Perfect Community. And he said, more important than awareness of good is doing good. More important than knowing how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God is living the communion that is the essence of the Trinity. See, I believe the Trinity helps us to better understand God's original intent for family and for community. The Trinity is really the perfect picture for the church, a group of people relating to one another in loving, in self-giving, and in living. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the things that matter most, for the doctrine that we've been given, for the scripture that soundly provides a foundation for how we live our life. and how we conduct ourselves as a church. We're thankful for you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, at work within our lives and in our church in everything that we do. I thank you that you demonstrate and define what true community is all about. And I pray that by your Spirit you would work in and through our lives as our church community, our community of faith, is forever strengthened in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.